I'm your host, Aaron Ripmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 252 for December 21st, 2014 are Eric Anderson.
Hey there, everybody.
Kevin Crossman.
Hooray for Hollywood.
And Richard Grady.
Hello, everyone.
So tonight, we're going to be picking up where we left off just a couple of weeks ago and bringing you part two of our 2015 Disney movies preview. One of the benefits of doing this in two pieces is that Kevin was able to hop back on and join us. But before we get into that discussion, I want to thank our podcast sponsor, Fairytale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Next time your family is considering a themed entertainment destination, Disneyland, Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, heck, even those themed entertainment parks over on the other side of Orlando at Universal or on the other side of the country at Universal Hollywood. A Fairytale Journeys travel agent would love to help take the stress and pressure of planning off of your shoulders, let you focus on the fun while they take care of the details. You can check them out at fairytalejourneys.com. Okay, guys, so just a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the Disney movie slate from January 2015 through May 2015. The reason we broke this podcast into two pieces is because, really, the back end of 2015 is so loaded with great releases coming from Disney. Because, you know, we're getting Strange Magic in January, and just to kind of catch us up, Strange Magic in January, McFarland USA in February, Cinderella in March, Monkey Kingdom in April, Avengers Age of Ultron in May, along with Tomorrowland also in May, and then in June, so we're getting basically a movie a month from Disney, on June 19th, we get Inside Out, which is our first brand new Pixar story in 2 years. You know, since Monsters University, and our first non-sequel from Pixar since 2012. So, you know, we've got a trailer that's been out for Inside Out now for a few months. It's been, you know, floating its way online longer, finally been attached to a couple of things in theaters. Let's see, I think Eric, or Richard, probably, your turn to go first. Tell us what you think about Inside Out.
So, yeah, the trailer, I saw it on the big screen in front of Big Hero 6, and the tagline that they'd been doing was, it's pulled from the perspective of the emotions inside the mind of a little girl. And as soon as I heard that, I'm thinking, okay, so it's either Cranium Command or Herman's Head. It's going to be one of those two is pretty much that vibe I'm getting from it.
How many people got the Herman's Head reference? I did.
Oh, yeah. I remember that show. What was it? Herman's Head. That was it. And I went and hunted it down, actually. So,
right. Yeah. And is that in your mind a good thing, or are you still a little wary about this one?
I miss Cranium Command. Like, I really liked that show. It was a lot of fun. And so I'm cautiously optimistic on this. I've generally liked the things that Pixar has done. I've liked a lot of their original ones more than the sequels, because the sequels, like the Toy Story ones, were great. Monsters University was kind of okay, but not as good as the first. Cars 2, yeah, it's a fine action film, but, you know, it wasn't that must-see that Cars was, and by the time you get to Planes 2, I'm waiting for Trains to finish out Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and just, you know, throw it out somewhere.
Right.
Oh, if only John Candy were alive. Anyway, no, the trailer makes it look interesting. The one that was in front of Big Hero 6 basically starts with emotions from a bunch of different Pixar characters. So you see people, you know, from Up and Finding Nemo and Monsters, just to get you to remember what sadness is and joy and fear. But you don't really get much of anything as to what the movie's going to be about, other than there's a girl and she has these emotions inside her. Let's look.
Well, that's true. We don't have much storyline yet. I don't know, Eric. Are you where are you on the spectrum here? Are you, you know, cautiously optimistic, excited? What's the take in the Anderson household?
Well, first of all, they've done their homework. Because to put on my psychology hat for a second, there are six universally recognized human facial expressions. So it's happiness, surprise, fear, disgust, anger, and sadness. So they've got most of those covered in this. So they've done done a little background research here. So I'm interested to see how that plays out. You know, it's inside the head of a little girl. And again, I've got two little girls, so they're going to probably identify with the protagonist, or I guess the setting of the film. The psychology geek in me is very anxious to see what they do with the emotions. And I'm sure the daughters will enjoy just the emotions, doing whatever the emotions are going to do.
Right.
They look like well-drawn characters, and it'll be interesting to see how well they sort of cling to their archetypes.
Right. All right. And Kevin, how about you? What's your initial impression?
Well, as with almost every Pixar film, there's not a lot to go on with the initial trailer. They hardly ever do a lot of information in these initial trailers. And I'll be honest, most of the time I'm not typically excited. And then I go see the movie, and it's Pixar, and it's awesome, just like it always is. So I have no reason to think otherwise for this project. Pete Docter is one of their key guys, you know, directed Monsters, Inc. and Up. And it's the screenplay from Michael Arndt, who did Toy Story 3 and Little Miss Sunshine. I think the key thing here is that there is lots of comedians in the voice cast. So my assumption is that this should be pretty wild and out there, as opposed to maybe being an adventure movie, which we'll talk about later. So I don't know. It's Pixar. It looks great. It's from their A-list. No reason not to be excited and to expect that it's going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the folks behind this film give us a lot to be hopeful about. You know, I mean, it's not just Pete Docter, who, you know, is a good sign to start with, but as you alluded to, the terrific voice cast. I mean, Amy Poehler, Mindy Kaling, Bill Hader, and Louis Black. You know, I would watch the four of them just sitting for an hour, you know, 2 hours doing a talk show. So the fact that they're going to get a script from Pete Docter, you know, that means that if nothing else, it'll be interesting to listen to. And speaking of listening to, we're also getting music from Michael Giacchino, who's, you know, who's becoming sort of the go-to guy in a lot of ways for music for Disney films. You know, he's doing the music here for Inside Out. He's also done The Incredibles and Ratatouille and Up. He's doing Tomorrowland. So, you know, he's going to bring his sensibility to the sound of it, which to me is really interesting, because that to me sounds almost, you know, his usual sound profile is bigger than the much more intimate film that Eric seemed to be predicting. So I'm going to be really interested to see how much of this movie really ends up taking place inside the protagonist's head, and how much of it is in, you know, her existing in the world around her, with the things going on in her head being recurring elements. You know, it's almost the, you know, how much of the Herman's head direction is it going to take, right? You know, how much of it is going to be these folks whose existence is inside the brain. So I guess I'm glad Pixar is being creative. I'm glad Pixar is, you know, going outside the box here again. And so looking forward to it. And I'm going to get a chance to watch this one for the first time. I suspect strongly that I'll be watching this opening, or just after opening weekend, on the Disney Dream with a bunch of fellow DizDads on the DizDads Dream Cruise. So that's going to take us to July. And again, you know, the one-a-month pace continues. And in July of 2015, July 17th to be exact, we get our second Marvel Cinematic Universe film of the year with the release of Ant-Man. And this is, you know, we're now going to be firmly into phase three of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So let's see, whose turn is it? I guess, is it Richard's turn to go first or Kevin's?
I think it's mine.
All right, yeah, go for it.
Well, Ant-Man is actually kind of an interesting story with, you know, the original director was working on this for years and he dropped out over creative differences. But they did keep Paul Rudd as the star, not necessarily the person you'd expect to be headlining a superhero movie, but we'll see. So, you know, I like the talent here. You know, you've got a lot of people like Michael Douglas, Corey Stoll, Evangeline Lilly. These are really good people in a superhero movie. And, you know, until we start to see the Avengers and a little bit more about what's going on, we don't have a trailer yet for this film either. It's a little hard to tell. And I'm not personally familiar with the back, you know, the comic source material here. But, you know, again, Marvel, have they done anything bad yet? No. I love Paul Rudd as an actor. I'm super excited to see this movie. And, you know, what else can you say? I mean, it's Marvel in the summer. Seems like a no-brainer.
Okay. Richard, any additional thoughts here?
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic. Again, Marvel hasn't done anything wrong. I'm wondering why they chose to do Scott Lang instead of Pym as kind of the, you know, the two of them are working in concert. I'm vaguely familiar with Ant-Man canon. Not as much. Like, I know some things.
Right.
But I can't nitpick a lot, but it was like, it's not just Pym, huh? And they've had test footage that's been out for, what, a year and a half now? Two years?
Bits and pieces.
Long time since one of the comic cons, I think, and it looks like a neat sequence. It, you know, if they use test footage or they use sequence action scenes like that, expect to see a lot of Ant-Man leaps into the air, shrinks down to near microscopic size, runs up the barrel of the gun, you know, doing damage as he goes. Swarms of ants flying everywhere. You know, it should be a lot of fun, but it's probably not in that A-list Marvel movie for me. I'll certainly see it a couple times, but I'm not looking forward to it in the same way that I was for Captain America. You know.
All right. Well, that's fair enough. It is certainly a different. You know, the whole film is clearly going to be very different from anything we've seen yet from Marvel. Eric, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's definitely. I mean, they got Guardians of the Galaxy and did a great job with it. Ant-Man is far from my favorite Marvel character, but it'll be interesting to see what they do, I think, with the supporting cast. I mean, that's where I think they've really got the chance to make this both a good movie on its own and to help sort of push things along in this next phase of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I believe this will be the first installment of what are we in now? Phase three,
right? This will be phase three.
Yeah,
and this movie, I have to tell you that more than anything else, this movie is about, and my excitement about this movie is about my faith in Joss Whedon, because, you know, the big news, as Kevin mentioned up front, is that, you know, Edgar Wright, who'd been working on this film really since its earliest conception, we left the film over creative differences. And I think what this really comes down to is that, you know, this is a pivotal film, because if they don't do Ant-Man right, then coming out of Age of Ultron, which is the wrap-up for Phase 2, you know, it really makes this next phase for Marvel difficult. And this is a challenging phase, because with each phase of the Marvel Universe films, we get to somewhat more obscure storylines that less of the public knows well. You know, this time around, we're getting Ant-Man, we're getting, you know, we're eventually here going to get Black Panther, we're getting Doctor Strange. I mean, these are... not the storylines like Iron Man that, you know, people have known all their lives, that the broad cross-section of America is familiar with. And it's interesting to me that, because I did some digging a little bit, I wanted to figure out, because the director that they replaced Edgar Wright with is a guy named Peyton Reed. And looking at his credits, you kind of have to wonder how Peyton Reed ends up the director of a Marvel superhero film. Because the vast majority of his work before this has been on television. And the biggest movie that he did, as a director, is Bring It On.
Well, he's also directed. He directed Down with Love, which was actually pretty well received, and The Breakup, which I thought was great.
Oh, no, not saying that they weren't good movies, but they weren't. They didn't sell tickets like a Marvel Cinematic Universe tentpole is expected to.
I suppose, but you could say that about any number of the other directors that they've dropped into some of these movies as well.
Exactly, but let me get to what my point was, which is what I wanted to figure out was where he was coming from with that background. Well, Bring It On had in its cast Eliza Dushku and Claire Kramer, who are both actresses that have worked quite a bit with Joss Whedon. And I wouldn't at all be surprised if there's a connection there somewhere when he went looking for a director who, because, Whedon's role in the cinematic universe for Marvel is to shape the overall flow of the story. And I suspect that that's where the issues with Edgar Wright came from, because I'm sure Edgar Wright would have done a great movie. But they need Ant-Man to lead into the rest of Phase 3. And to do that, whoever's directing's got to follow the blueprint, the big picture blueprint. And what I really love about what they're doing with Ant-Man, and I'm getting more excited about it, is that unlike any of the other Marvel movies yet, and what I love about what they've done with this whole universe is that each of the films stands alone very well in terms of having its own feel and style, and then they still come together. This one is the first that is clearly working in two time periods in the same film, to a large extent, because we're getting some piece of Ant-Man is going to be, Hayley Atwell's Agent Carter is in this film. They're also going to have Howard Stark featured in this film, and Michael Douglas as Hank Pym. So we'll have that group of three that have some piece of this film, and then we get a second layer, a second time frame, which is the current day with Paul Rudd as the Scott Lang Ant-Man and Evangeline Lilly as Wasp, which I absolutely love that casting. So I'm getting really excited about this because I really am looking forward to a completely fresh kind of superhero movie for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I get the feeling that that's where we're headed. I'm excited about that. All right, I've gushed long enough. Sorry about that.
The IMDb page talks about this as more of a heist film.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure they're going to be stealing an Infinity Stone. Infinity Gem, however you want to call it, but that would be a good lead in to the later movies that we know are coming up too. But
yeah, I also worth noting, I guess, is that Adam McKay, who is probably best known as Will Ferrell's director, but has also worked with Paul Rudd extensively. He was brought on after Peyton Reed was brought in, and he did a pass on the script. So, that's pretty A-list talent from a script writing standpoint also, although, again, not typical for this genre.
Right. And again, that to me is what's most exciting about this, is that they're not just going back to the same folks, because that's what I think is keeping the Marvel Cinematic Universe fresh. Okay, so enough of me geeking out about Ant-Man. Next up is a film that we don't really know as much about. We're getting farther into 2015, so we don't have trailers for these things yet. But we do have a release date of October 9th, 2015. So after the July release of Ant-Man, we don't get anything new from Disney through the rest of the summer, which is kind of interesting to me and a little surprising. But the next Disney film release is October 9th, 2015. We get a live-action Jungle Book film. And it's an interesting cast, especially since we just finished talking about Marvel Cinematic Universe. I don't know. Richard, have you dug into this one at all?
Yeah, so let's start with the interesting cast. Bill Murray's going to be the role of Baloo, but there are different actors from the Marvel movies. Scarlett Johansson is going to be in it. Ben Kingsley, who was the Mandarin, will be in it as well. And Idris Elba will be in it. Idris was Heimdall. So just on the voice cast for the various animals, I think it's pretty strong. I'm curious to see what they're going to do. Kipling's Jungle Book's a lot more than Mowgli, Baloo, Shere Khan. So I'd like to see where it goes. There's a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of different stories in there, and I kind of wonder if they're going to touch on some of the other ones, right, or if it's going to be a retread of what's essentially the familiar part that everyone knows.
Yeah. Any other thoughts there, Eric?
And don't forget, Jon Favreau is directing it, so there's your other Marvel Cinematic Universe tie-in.
Yeah.
And a Peyton Reed veteran, too.
That's right.
And yeah, it would be nice to see them branch out a little bit. And again, this is another one that I'd like to see how they're going to involve maybe something in the parks with the movie, what they're going to bring in. You know, if they do introduce something new in the movie, are they going to bring it into Adventureland at Walt Disney World?
Well, where the timing is good, you know, included, yeah, in the Animal Kingdom expansion.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, Animal Kingdom is, well, until Avatar Land rolls out, it's been a pretty grounded in reality place. But I'm very interested in the synergy with a lot of these movies and the theme parks, just because I like both,
yeah,
both divisions of Disney. And I think if they do break some new ground, it would just open up so many more opportunities for them to do things in the park, introduce new characters, and expand some of the things that they've got in the park already.
Sure. How about you, Kevin? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I interrupt you, Richard?
I forgot that Christopher Walken was going to be King Louie, which I think is going to be very, very, very different because, well, just with the way in which he talks, I want to be like you. Those weird Shatner-esque kind of pauses. It'll definitely be a different characterization there.
Yeah. So anything else, Kevin?
You know, I'm not really familiar with the animated film. It's been since I was a little kid since I saw it. So, but again, you got to like the talent here. And I know that this has sort of been a passion project for Favreau. I know he's been really working on this for quite a while. And I think there's another Jungle Book coming from another studio. So I'm not sure how this is going to play. You know, this would be one where they should start getting this trailer out now so they can get some, you know, awareness and getting people hyped because, yeah, there's a lot of people to like in this cast, but hard to tell how much of this is going to be CGI and how much of it is going to be live action. What does that mean? You know,
yeah, I mean, here's what's bizarre. So October 2015, you know, Disney is coming out with its live action Jungle Book, and you heard the cast on that one. Then in 2016, so just the next year, Warner Brothers has a live-action version of Jungle Book, and its cast includes Christian Bale, Benedict Cumberbatch, Andy Serkis, and Kate Blanchett. So
Doctor Strange in it.
And elves.
I mean, you know, it's like the overlap here cracks me up. It's very interesting to me to see these two cast lists. But it just seems very odd that both studios are doing Jungle Book films literally within a few months of each other with these big name casts, live action. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do to differentiate themselves, because it's really easy for the public to, you know, jumble these up in their heads. And it doesn't matter, I don't think, as much for the theatrical release, but you got to believe that it makes a difference, you know, 6 months down the road in the video sales.
Yeah, quick, which White House terror movie starred Channing Tatum? Quick, answer. You don't know which one it was, right? It's the same thing. People get confused when the two movies that have the exact same plot. Like, what? Which one?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, and is that the is that the Christian Bale, or is that the Ben Kingsley? I mean, yeah.
Well, it depends. If there's a I Am Blue, probably Christian Bale. I don't know what part Christian Bale's playing in the 2016 one. I haven't really looked into it yet.
Yeah, I didn't pay that much attention to the specific parts, but I was struck by the cast, because aside from Christian Bale, I mean, these are actors that are doing Disney films in 2015 and then going to do the Warner Brothers Jungle Book in 2016.
I wonder if the rights to Kipling stuff suddenly opened up or something, and that's why there's suddenly both of them being done within a short period.
I don't know. It could be. I mean, Disney's been known to do that. That's one of the motivations for some of the reboots that they've done, is to keep their trademark and copyright interests, timely. But who knows? So that's October. It's kind of one that we don't really know much about, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens. This is a Thanksgiving weekend release. We get our second brand new Pixar film. So we go from no, brand new Pixar for 2 years, or for 3 years, really. No, new story Pixar films for 3 years. And then we get two in 1 year with The Good Dinosaur in November 2015. This is another one that's had a bit of a tumultuous development. And I don't know, Kevin, maybe you want to start us off with the background here on Good Dinosaur.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing here is the synopsis for this film, it says, what if the cataclysmic asteroid that changed life forever and killed the dinosaurs didn't, crash into the Earth? And what if they continue to evolve? And, you wonder, okay, so dinosaurs are still living. Presumably they've evolved in some way. Is this going to be like Disney's Dinosaur, where they still look like dinosaurs and walk around? Or is this the old Dinosaurs TV sitcom where they're like the Honeymooners or whatever? And, it's hard to tell without any, trailer or whatever. And a bunch of the people here are not exactly the Pixar A-list, and I'm not sure that's because of the turnover. I know there's definitely been some turnover on the production team here. So
right.
The voice cast includes John Lithgow and Frances McDormand and Neil Patrick Harris and Bill Hader. So, like Pixar always does, they get good voice casting, but it's, a little hard to see what the tone is going to be. Maybe this is going to be more of an adventure film. I don't know.
Yeah. Eric, any additional thoughts?
No, this has had a very long gestational period. Like you were saying, it's been kind of years in the making. It kept getting pushed, and that makes me a little nervous about it. The subject matter makes me a little nervous too. I'm not sure how well humans and dinosaurs would actually get along.
Yeah, I'm having the same trepidation.
Like a house on fire, screaming, panic,
Exactly. So, yeah, we taste like chicken, I think, is the only way we could resolve this. But I mean, like I said, good cast, and I will enjoy seeing Neil Patrick Harris do Candlelight Processional dressed as a dinosaur at some point.
Yeah, so just to fill in the blanks here a little bit, this was originally a Bob Peterson film. He was the co-director on Up. And so this is a film that Peterson was kind of shepherding through the process, and the sort of the word that came out in the Hollywood press was that he just couldn't get a handle on the third act of the film. They couldn't, you know, bring it all back together. And so they went ahead and pushed it back. Originally, the release date was 2014, pushed it back to the end of 2015, and brought in Peter Sohn, who'd been working with Bob Peterson on Good Dinosaur, but they sort of, you know, moved him into the director's chair. You may recognize his name. He's worked on a bunch of other Pixar stuff. He worked on Ratatouille. He worked on The Incredibles. He worked on Finding Nemo. But, you know, Peter Sohn hasn't had the job of being in charge of a big Pixar film yet. So that'll be interesting to see, you know, how that transition worked out. I share Eric's trepidation about a dinosaur story where humans and dinosaurs coexist. I did, you know, I was doing a little digging because with all these changes, I was kind of curious as to what information was out there. And I guess there's some reporting from Lithgow talking about how he had been done with Good Dinosaur. And months later, they called him and had him come in, and he thought he was just going to come in and, you know, do some looping for a final cut. And he said he basically re-recorded his entire part.
Do we know that there are humans and dinosaurs together in this movie?
Yeah.
In the only concept art I've seen, the answer is yes.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry. So Richard, you've looked at some of this stuff as well?
Yeah, but again, there's not that much out on it yet. Granted, it's almost a full year away. However, I'd expect to see like a teaser somewhere about this point. We might have a teaser, you know, later on this month. They might throw it onto Into the Woods or something. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but it's mainly on the voice cast that they put together. Whereas the whole humans and dinosaurs getting along, just no, we taste like chicken. That's
well, and I have to say,
let's not mention disbelief for Star Wars and for superhero movies, but humans and dinosaurs together, you know, maybe we're drawing a line here.
Yeah, I, in addition to that, maybe it'll be different when they actually get a trailer out or a teaser or something, but the limited amount of, you know, early stills that are floating around out there that are supposedly, you know, art for the Good Dinosaur, I'm just not really liking it at all.
Yeah, it's not the standard Pixar snuff.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't look Pixar. It really reminded me of children's book illustration. It didn't have the vibrancy of what I've come to expect from Pixar animation. And like I said, I may be blown away when I actually get a chance to see, you know, this moving. Right, when we see the animation of it. But it looked very flat. And in most of the early drawings, even for things like Monsters, Inc., where they've released some of the sketchwork and things like that, it still has some life to it. And I just felt like what I've seen of the Good Dinosaur art, it seems very flat to me. So maybe I'm expecting too much, but it's the first time in a long time I've said that, you know, there's a Pixar movie coming that I'm not really excited about. Maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised. All right, anybody have any last thoughts on Good Dinosaur? Well, that's going to bring us then to, I think, the one that everybody's been wanting to talk about. This is the you know, final piece, the crown on an incredibly full year of Disney film releases, and that is the December 18th, 2015 release of Star Wars 7, The Force Awakens. We now have a official name, The Force Awakens, and we actually got a trailer as well. So now that we've all seen that trailer several thousand times, I'm sure, you know, Richard, why don't you start us out? What are you thinking about Star Wars 7?
Please let it not be bad. Please let it not be bad. Okay, so, yeah, they completely threw out all the expanded universe stuff. They said it's non-canon, never happened, and they released the trailer. And I like the trailer. I've watched it a lot. There are a few things in the trailer that bug me. I'm not at all disturbed by the lightsaber with the cross hilt. I'm not at all disturbed by the barrel roll and the Immelman that Millennium Falcon does. I'm not disturbed by Black Stormtrooper. No. Why are there cumulus clouds on Tatooine? That's what I wanted to
do. Oh, my God.
Okay, so, yeah, I pretty much, like, okay, everyone, stop. Thanksgiving has to be on hold for a minute. Trailer, okay. And, yeah, I've watched it a couple dozen times, and I've listened to a lot of people complain about little nitpicky things from what is essentially a teaser trailer. We don't know anything really about it other than it's 25, 30 years in the future. We have most of the original cast coming back to reprise their roles, but now as the old guard, probably telling their kids, no, you can't go off gallivanting around the galaxy. When I was your age, I stayed here on the moisture farm, and I certainly didn't go off on any adventures. Yeah. So I'm pretty much expecting to see a lot of that to kick off a new trilogy. So I'm very hopeful. I'm very optimistic. But at the same time, there's that whole, I love the first trilogy. I accept the existence of the second trilogy, but that doesn't have to mean that it's great.
Okay, so, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of please let it be better than the second trilogy.
All right, again, Eric, how about you? What are your thoughts on Star Wars 7?
A lot more optimistic.
Yeah, I too am trying to be optimistic, and I got to tell you, the trailer made me more optimistic. I wasn't bothered too much by the clouds, I'll have to be honest. I wasn't paying that close attention. Just when the Falcon soared onto the screen, I'm in. That's it. Sold. Take my money. Shut up and take my money. Yeah, it looks like an interesting at least start to what they're going to roll out to tease us for the rest of the year until this shows up next year. Right. I am, again, yeah, I'm not going to be camping out in line, but that's only because I'm old. And and I just can't do that anymore. But I am definitely going to be out there as soon as I can get there to see this movie.
Yeah, I'm not going to be camping out, but that's because I know now to go to the theaters that allow you to purchase, reserve seats.
Fancy lad.
Now, there.
All right, so Kevin, how about you? What are your thoughts? I know that you were excited that this trailer was coming.
Yeah, so I think finally somebody's decided that teaser trailers should be teasers, not giving away the entire film. So what did they show us? They showed us a few characters, most of which we weren't familiar with, some little scenes of this, scenes of that, scenes of this, and then the big go to black and boom, the Star Wars music, the Millennium Falcon swooping around in a crazy way that you've never seen before in any of the original trilogy because the special effects weren't good enough and all that. So needless to say, this was I was really pumped for the trailer. I liked what I saw. And let me tell you a story. When I was 13 years old in the summer of 1980, I went to summer camp. And you would not believe how much time we spent discussing who the other was that summer. And now we have a whole year to talk about this new crazy lightsaber, who's the guy with the lightsaber, all this stuff. This is exactly what all the Star Wars fanboys need, is just enough to give us a taste. And now we can start building our Lego versions of the trailer, the, whatever stuff that's out there, whether we're for or against the ball droid or not. This is great, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say that I didn't even realize it, but I got suckered just last weekend into going to see the Penguins of Madagascar. I had no interest in seeing this film at all. I don't recommend it. It's not a very good movie.
I've heard condolences are in order if you had to go see it.
But... It did mean that I managed to get to see the trailer on the big screen.
So it's basically going and seeing Meet Joe Black, right?
it was worth it to get to see that trailer on a full size, you know, big theater screen with theater sound and all that, because that's part of, you know, my memories of the Star Wars experience. And that's the part of the Star Wars experience that I'm so excited to share with my kids. Because my son already loves Star Wars, but he only knows Star Wars from, you know, watching it in our, you know, in the media room here at home. And, you know, that's a nice big TV, but it's just not the same. The one thing I can say about this trailer is, you're right, it doesn't give away any story, but it's clear that, you know, J.J. Abrams gets the space opera sense of Star Wars. You know, again, as I was talking about at the beginning about Cinderella and the you know, Kenneth Branagh getting those big, gorgeous establishing shots. Same thing here with this trailer. We see all of the really important things we needed to see, right? We saw, you know, the X-Wings skimming along the water. We saw the Millennium Falcon, you know, able to do things we couldn't see it do before, as Kevin was saying, because the effects allow us to see it now. You know, they don't have to throw it in the air and spin it and hope the camera can catch it. And they don't give away any story, really. So it was perfect as a teaser. It's got my whole family excited to go and see this when it comes out. I'm sure it's going to be one of those that we're at the theater to see multiple times. I will say I'm not a fan of that, you know, the funky lightsaber, only because I don't know. I see that and my reaction is, okay, why? And why do we care? You know, I'm a traditionalist, I guess, when it comes to my lightsabers. And I'm not a big fan of the soccer ball robot.
Boo.
You know, here's why. It's real simple. I'm not a fan of the soccer ball robot because he strikes me as too easy a character to play for cheap laughs.
He's
got too much potential to be Jar Jar.
It strikes me as a bad design for a desert planet.
This is what I'm saying. And so it just strikes me as too much potential to be Jar Jar. You know, you could get great comedy out of R2-D2 without it being slapsticky, even when it was slapsticky.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right? I mean, it's the difference between, you know, the Three Stooges and your neighbor stepping on his rake. It's just funnier when the Three Stooges do it. They're pros. And I don't know. We'll see. I'm not going to trash it. I'm not going to say that it's going to be ruined. I'm not really worried about it. I'm just a little cautious. You know, for all we know, when the movie actually comes out, what we saw of Soccer Ball Robot is all of him that's in the entire movie. Because that's the kind of thing J.J. Abrams would do just to screw with us all. So, we'll see. It hit the right mark in terms of tone, in terms of scale, and for that, I'm really excited and hopeful.
Yeah, and the internet is reporting that the full trailer for Episode 7 will be attached to Avengers 2. Like, you needed more of a reason to go see the movie. So,
oh well, you know, if it wasn't
get your
on
geek on,
wasn't going to go see it.
Yeah, forget it now. You know, now it's just not worth it.
It's ruined. Absolutely ruined for me.
Again, they could show it at the end of the film and people might stay.
You have to have your Marvel teaser for, you know, something else.
Right. We gotta have a Marvel stinger anyway. So we get a Marvel stinger and a Star Wars stinger.
I'm right. Fine with that.
So
then the Falcon attacks Thanos and
All right, so ultimately what we're getting is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Am I counting right? Are we getting 11 movies from Disney in 2015?
Well, that's what you get when you keep buying up all these other studios.
Maybe, but, you know, we have not seen Disney produce content at this rate in a very long time. And that alone, to me, is really exciting because, you know, we ran through this, and there's really only one or two of these that, you know, we all didn't say, I can't wait to see what they do with it. And I think that bodes well. You know, it's exciting to see. What I want to do now is go ahead and do like we did at the end of part one and just, you know, kind of go around first looking just at the second half of 2015. So looking just at, you know, from June onward. And first, maybe, you know, which of these releases for the second half of 2015 are you not necessarily the most excited to see, but the most intrigued by, the one that you find compellingly interesting, even if you don't know enough about it to be excited about it. Richard, how about you?
Well, so for the back half of next year, Star Wars and anything Marvel is pretty much just here, take my money. You know I'm going to be there. You know I'm going to be there probably opening day. I'll buy it. That's a given. With those out of the mix, I think the one that I'm most interested in actually is either Inside Out or the revamp of the Jungle Book. And I just need to see a full trailer for each, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm intrigued by both of them. I'm not tossing either of them out. I'd like to see what they do with Inside Out. I'll probably see it because it's an original Pixar. So I'm pretty optimistic on it. But the Jungle Book really has more of the, where are they going with this? I'd like to know.
Okay. How about you, Kevin?
Paul Rudd as a superhero has me very, very intrigued. So Ant-Man is on top of my list in that category.
All right. Excellent. How about you, Eric?
I'm going to go with Inside Out as well. It just the fact that I think they did some homework on it, it really makes me happy about it. So I can't wait to see what they do with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've already given up my chance at you know, choosing Ant-Man in this slot because I've already gushed about how excited I am about what it looks like they're doing with the story structure. So I'm going to agree and say that I'm really intrigued by Inside Out. Looking forward to seeing, you know, again, how they handle the narrative structure of it and how we get a story out of this film because it has the potential to be really claustrophobic if they don't handle it well. And I don't have any doubts that they will handle it well. So I'm excited to see how they do that and really intrigued by it. And heck, seeing it on the cruise ship, you know, I can see it as many times as I want to decide what I think about it. So that'll make it easy. And then one last, you know, going around and give us either what you are, you know, if there's a specific thing that you're either most excited about or that you are looking at it and saying, why the heck are they releasing it? One or the other end. And Kevin, you can go first. Maybe do one of each.
Well, sure. I guess I'm just really excited for Star Wars and to have Harrison Ford coming back to the film maybe a little bit unexpectedly. And obviously being apparently a major part of this first film in this upcoming trilogy. So that's really the one I'm most excited about. Why are they releasing it? I guess I don't really know that I would point to any of these second half films in that category. But if I'm going to say anything, Jungle Book, why? It's been done a million times. Maybe Favreau's got a new interesting take, but I need to see more before it gets out of that doghouse.
Okay. How about you, Eric?
Yeah, Star Wars for me. It's like it's 1977 again, and I am, you know, that age again. I just can't wait to see what they do with it. It's one of those. I'm really excited, and I really hope that they do it right. And I know I'm probably every other fan in the world has that exact same feeling, but yeah, it's new territory for the director. It's new territory for the franchise because Lucas isn't at the helm anymore. So it's really uncharted, even though it's so familiar. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with it. Okay. As for, you know, it's, I don't know. I feel like I'm worried about the good dinosaur. I'm just not so sure what's going to happen with that. And, it doesn't pique my interest, story wise. And I think that's what really drives a lot of my excitement for movies is what's the story going to be. Sure. And it really doesn't give me any good vibes that way.
All right. And, Richard, how about you?
I'm pretty much same with everyone else. Yeah, please let Star Wars be good. Yeah, I want it to be good. I'm hoping very strongly it's going to be a great film because I want to sit there on the front row of the theater and stare up and just cheer when the 20th, you know, when the, well, it wouldn't be 20th Century Fox, but when the, you know, that whole
when
thing
the castle pops up.
Yeah, when as soon as we get our you know, Episode 7, The Force Awakens, and you know, the giant yellow letters scrolling across the screen. I want that feeling. I desperately want that feeling. And I want my kids to be there next to me going, Daddy, why are oh, yeah. Because they've never seen them on the big screen.
Right.
The one that I'm wondering kind of, why are you doing this? Has got to be the good dinosaur. The voice cast looks great, but between the animation style and just kind of the story, it has me thinking kind of DreamWorks, lesser film, like the sort of thing they went, well, we made Shrek. What else were you going to do?
Okay.
It just doesn't feel Disney, Pixar, I'm not getting any of that vibe from it. And so if you're not going to do it, then why, you know, if you're not going to do it right, why do it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say, first on my big excitement film, I'm going to take a departure here because emotionally, it's still probably Star Wars, but I'm trying very hard intellectually to keep my expectations in check because it's just not fair. It's not fair to whatever film Star Wars 7 ends up being to hold it up to my tween memories of a summer spent, you know, seeing Star Wars twice a week for an entire summer, at least. It can't compete with that because it's just got too much, you know, emotional baggage with it. And so if I'm not going to call Star Wars the one that I'm most excited about, because I don't want to put that on Star Wars, it's Ant-Man, because it's one that had the potential, and I guess still has the potential, to be the first Marvel big swing and a miss. And I like that they're taking some risks with it. They're putting it in the hands of a director who hasn't done this kind of thing. They're doing a story structure that's different, it appears, than the way they've structured the rest of the films in this Marvel Cinematic Universe so far. So I'm really excited for that. It's going to be a good summer for Disney film. And on the, you know, why are they doing this? And my first reaction was to say Jungle Book, at least partially because, you know, you've got another major studio doing another Jungle Book film with, you know, big name actors just a few months later. But, you know, I'm seeing enough. I mean, first of all, even if it's only her voice, I just don't know that I've ever seen Scarlett Johansson in anything not good. That cast is just too strong. So I'm going to join the chorus of, well, I just don't get the good dinosaur piece. The animation style, as I said, it just looks too children's book to me. And I kind of, what we've heard about the story so far feels children's book to me as well. And not in a fun way. Just in sort of a fairly run-of-the-mill, you know, kids dinosaur book way. So maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised. but I'm not betting on it right now. All right. Well, you know, you all have heard our opinions. You've heard what we're looking forward to in the second half of 2015 from Disney Film. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter. And participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. And we're even on Facebook at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Eric Anderson.
See you next time, everybody.
Kevin Crossman.
Good night, and may the Force be with you.
And Richard Grady.
The Force be with you, always. And good night.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.